Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
Conventional wisdom has it that cattle are bad for the land. They pack soil so hard that plants can't grow. But sometimes what we think we know isn't necessarily so. A nonprofit group working in Zimbabwe is using livestock to bring dry, denuded, desertified land back to life. The Africa Center for Holistic Management just won the Buckminster Fuller competition. It rewards those who apply Fuller's famously unconventional thinking to environmental problems. Professor Zaki Mpof and wildlife biologist Alan Savory developed the center's livestock land remedy. Welcome to Living on Earth.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So isn't desertification driven by overgrazing? How can cattle be part of a solution when we've been thinking they're the problem?
Yes, it's in the public media, in the myths and so on, livestock cause desertification, and they have historically. And I used to condemn them totally until I found from my own research that I was wrong. Now I defend a completely different position. Livestock are the only tool available to science with which to reverse desertification. It depends on how you manage them, how you run them.
Professor, help us understand a little more how this actually works. How do you keep the animals where you want them?
We keep the animals by having the herders keeping them where we actually want them, following the plan that has been devised. Because we plan right at the two times a year, at the beginning of the growing season. We plan for the growing season and we plan for the dry season. So the herders then follow the plan that has been drawn.
When we realized we had to mimic the animals, we also realized we had to have some planning process that could treat each situation as unique. So we actually trained people very simply to get the livestock in the right place for the right time, for the right reason, and to keep them bunched in their bunching behavior as though predators were around. And our cattle, if you can picture this, are overnight in lion-proof, predator-proof corrals, because we're predator-friendly in what we're doing. We want the predators. And then during the day, they're herded to a plan, and the herders just herd them very, very calmly in a bunched manner. And that plan leads to no plants or soil on our land being exposed to the animals for more than 3 days ever, and then not re-exposed for 6 to 9 months.
Well, what's different about the use of land by cattle who are bunched together versus those who roam more broadly?
The animals that are bunched together, what they do is they are bunched together, they chip the land, the soil becomes loose, it allows air to get into the soil, and it allows rain to soak in as when the rain comes. So what we have done now is to turn almost desert lands into thriving grasslands.
The Dibangombe Ranch that Tomizaki and the others are managing and running is a microcosm of the biggest problems in the world: poverty, violence, droughts and floods, almost perennial now. Now, what we've done there is to return it to animal-maintained rather than rest and fire grasslands and savanna. So we've increased the livestock 4 times, and because of that, we now have an abundance of grass. Even in a dry year, we're not worried at all about drought and forage production. And we now have open water with water lilies, fish, a mile above where we've ever known water historically in the river system, right through the dry season.
Kind of makes you wonder why people haven't been doing it this way before. Why do you think it took so long to discover this way of doing something as elemental as herding cattle?
My background personally is in animal science. I have training in animal science. And I looked at it and I said to myself, it looks a bit too simple to be true.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it is. And that's why I think most people have been skeptical and even say, prove it. Whatever it is that you are saying works, let's see you proving it.
What has participating in this meant for you?
It has meant quite a lot for me because I have seen how communities can be changed. Their lives can be changed. Because if you look at this, in this issue, there's the productivity of the land. There's the productivity in terms of livestock production. But there's also environmental issues as well as economic and social issues. And this program, what fascinates me about it a lot is that it also has social aspects, which most people don't consider. You look at communities, there's women and children who are affected by this program. One of the main outputs of it is the improvement in water.
In water?
If the ground, yes. As the rain comes, because the ground is covered, more water soaks into the ground. As it soaks into the ground, the water level goes up. And water is a big issue in the rural communities. Women walk distances with their children to go and fetch water. As the land improves, more water becomes available, and then the labor of fetching water from long distances becomes not an issue anymore. So it's not only about land, it's about land and people. So you have an issue of increasing crop productivity, you have water, and this is all contributes in terms of reducing poverty. So it looks like we have an answer right there for Zimbabwe and I think for the world, really.
Professor Zaki Mpofu is a special advisor to the Africa Center for Holistic Management. Alan Savory founded the Savory Institute for Holistic Management. There's more on their project at our website, loe.org. Coming up, two writers tackle our infrastructure system from the inside and out. The grid, the bad, and the ugly, just ahead on Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.